Welcome to the Rick Fuller Podcast, presented by Rick Fuller, the team leader of the Rick Fuller Team, which serves the San Francisco Bay Area and the greater Sacramento region. Rick and his team have over 1,300 five-star reviews and have been honored as a distinguished small business by the California State Senate and Assembly. Rick is a community leader, national real estate coach, and real estate investing expert. May 2023 marks 20 years that Rick has been in the real estate industry, and he has some amazing lessons that he shared at the last Rick Fuller team meeting. If you would like to attend a live virtual team meeting or would like to visit the Rick Fuller team at our office in the San Francisco Bay Area, contact us at 925-238-0160. We would love to meet you and share what makes the Rick Fuller team stand out from the crowd.
Oh, friends, man, I've just been kind of reflective lately, and I've been thinking about the lessons I've learned in 20 years. And let me just tell you this. I'm telling you these, not about me at all. I'm telling you these, I hope you're not falling in the pitfalls that I have fallen in over the last 20 years, that you're learning these lessons, that you're standing on the shoulders of the people that have gone ahead of you. And so I've shared with you six of them thus far. I got four more today that I'm going to bring this topic to a landing. And these are the big 10 things that I have learned in the last 20 years of being in the real estate business. Here's what I shared with you the first week. And I'm not going to repeat them all. So if you missed it, well, you missed it. Go attend the team meetings. Lesson number one, I learned that all people are created equal, but not all activities. Think, let that one ponder with you for a few moments. Here's lesson two. Commission can be a great motivator, but it makes a terrible master. Then I shared with you this. To grow really big, well, you got to think really small about each and every person you're serving. You can't start thinking about people in groups or in. You got to think about each person and the experience that they're having in buying and selling real estate. So then we went to week number two. Next slide. All right. So here's today's lesson. Are you ready for this? Today's lesson, lesson number four. There is no good market. There's no bad market. There's just the market you're in and what you're going to do with it. I started in 2003. It was a seller's market. Here was the obstacle, getting your offers accepted. Hello, sound familiar? Then there was an opportunity, home value rising at a rapid rate. Then in 2007 to 2010, do you remember these days? It was the REO market, the foreclosure market. In those, homeowners were losing their home. Equity was evaporating like an ice cube on a hot summer day. And people were losing their property. There were strategic defaults. They were going back to the bank. They were selling it for a fraction. In some markets, I saw home values worth 35% of what they once were worth. And in that market, the opportunity was to help people with payment relief option. But the obstacle was that people were losing their home. And it was very real. And it was very emotional. It was very sad for a lot of people in that market. There was a lot of pain that occurred. In 2010, 2012, we hit rock bottom, actually September of 2009 in the Bay Area, and it became the investor's market. Wendy, do you remember these days? We had investors coming out of the woodworks. We had one investor buy 15 homes with us, all cash. We helped them rent all of those properties out before we had Aaron's partnership. And in that, the obstacle was there were new buyers in the market and how we communicated was different. People were no longer interested in buying a home because of the pretty countertops and the view. They were now talking cap rates, cash flow, rental rates, and how fast we can get these properties turned. And that market continued for many years. And then we went into the market that we've experienced all the way up to this last market where home values were rising, where we experienced low rates. But it was hard for a lot of first-time home buyers to get in, especially in California. Today, we're facing a real obstacle with multiple offers. Hello, yes? Is this true or not true? Today, we're facing real obstacles with higher rates. Today, we're facing real obstacles with less inventory. Those are very real, and I don't want to minimize those. But there are opportunities. And these opportunities are to serve those that are moving out of our area and into Sacramento first, to El Dorado Hills, Roseville, Elk Grove, all of those markets that we have team members that are there, and also to help them transition out of state, because you have a lot of people moving to Idaho, Tennessee. They don't know how to do that. Florida's continue to be popular. Texas, even some areas of Washington, Arizona. People have never moved at the levels that they are. And they tend to move from urban San Francisco to suburban, like say East Bay. From suburban, they tend to move to either the Roseville, Sacramento area, or they're moving out of state. So there's an opportunity to help and serve those people unlike anything I have ever seen. There's also short-term rental opportunities and working with our people all across the country. So there are real obstacles that we don't want to minimize or pretend that they don't exist, but there are very real opportunities. Now, here is what I'm finding. I am finding that the old Bruce Springsteen song, Where's Wendy, for Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days. We always look back to the glory. Like that, those were the good old days. I wish they were the good. Those had problems. They were fraught with issues, challenges, obstacles. And I'm telling you, there is no good market to come. There is no bad market to come. There is only the market you are in and what you're going to do about it. So today I'm encouraging you to know that it's a pro's market. Be a pro. I'm encouraging you, it's a transitional market. All the things we've been talking about, help others transition well. I'm going to encourage you, it's a complicated market. You know, what Danielle was talking about is very real with rising rates, home equity lines that are far higher than what we've ever experienced before. Make it simple. Take the complex, make it simple. Lesson number one, or in this case, lesson number four, there's no good market. There's no bad market. There's just the market you're in and what you're going to do about it. Go be a pro. It's a pro's market. Okay, here's lesson number five. This one, I'm going to need some interaction. In the chat box, if you have bought a property and you own it today and you bought it over 10 years ago, put it in the chat box. Just say, yes, that's me. Over 15 years ago, or someone who's bought a property over 20 years ago. I'm going to pick on a couple of you. All right, let's start with John. John, can you unmute yourself? I want to ask you a question. Lesson number five is this. Your timing, your personal timing is more important than the timing of the market. John, when did you buy your property?
June of 2009.
John, was that a good purchase for you?
The best I've ever made.
John, would it have mattered if you would have paid five, looking back on it, with today's perspective, would it have really made a difference if you would have paid $5, $10, even $15,000 more for the property when you look at it, what it's worth today? Would it have made a tremendous difference?
Absolutely not.
John, would it have mattered if the interest rate was 1% or even a 1.5% or even 2% higher with the benefits that you've secured in real estate? Would that have made a difference to you?
Not at all.
All right, who's up? Patricia, when did you buy your last property? Or when did you buy your property over 10, 15, 20 years ago? What say you? Go ahead and unmute yourself.
I bought my property 29 years ago.
29 years ago. Would you mind sharing with us what you paid for it?
We paid $130 for it.
And by the way, we have a return policy. Anytime you want to return the property, we can purchase it at the exact same price that you paid for it. Would it have mattered if you would have paid $140 for it? Looking back at it today, the value that it's brought to you.
A lot of value. Family-wise.
Patricia, would it have made a tremendous difference in your investment if you had paid even $150 for it or $160 for it?
Yes.
The value of owning real estate. If you would have bought it for $140, $150, $160, what do you think it's worth today?
Today, my house is worth, I think, $950.
The home has multiplied nearly 8 times. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Okay, let me go to one more person. Who else do I have? Amy, over 10 years ago, Would you mind sharing us when you bought your property?
We bought, I can't think of what year it is. I can't do math right now. July 11 years ago.
You're speaking exactly like a lender, right? With the exact terms, exact dates, exact time. I love it. Amy, what did you buy your property for?
$190,000, some change.
Looking back on it, if you had to pay an extra $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, even $20,000 for the home, in the big scheme of things, would it really have made a difference?
No. And I absolutely would do it.
Yeah. If you had to pay, you know, instead of whatever your rate was at that time, if it was 1, 2, or even 3% higher, Amy, would it have really made a difference to you?
No, I can't even recall the interest rate because it wasn't even important to me at the time. I just wanted to make sure I could make the payment.
Yeah. Going back to Patricia, 29 years ago, what was your rate, Patricia? Was it 9 or 10%?
I think it was like 9.25%.
Yeah. Amy, what about you? Going back 10 years ago, was it 6 or 7?
I think it might have even been 8 or so. Our credit wasn't great. So I want to say it was around 8. And I wasn't even on the loan the first time around because my credit wasn't good.
All right. Thank you, guys. So do you get the point? Your timing is a lot better than market timing. You buying the property 20 years ago, or you convincing or sharing with your clients to buy property today, 20 years from now, their personal timing far outweighs market timing. Danielle, did the rates go up today? Did they drop today? Rick, are we seeing home values rising? Are we seeing dropping? Are we seeing more inventory, less inventory? Look, we can talk about all that stuff, but it is far secondary. It is far less important to your personal timing. Buy property, own property, hold property, and you will win in real estate. That leads us to number 6, lesson number 6. Let's do that one, Christina. Selling real estate is good. You should sell a lot of it. Flipping is better, but holding it is best. Okay? Selling real estate is good. To me, you could equate this. Somebody once told me, who was an investor, and he said, Rick, why do you work for tips? I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, I buy these properties. I hold on to them. You sell them for me. I get a big check. You get like a small check. You get like a tip. Why do you work for tips? And at that time, I thought my commission was pretty sizable. It's really beneficial. Help pay the bills. Now I look back on it to say he's right. Selling real estate is good. Flipping it is even better. Find properties for you, for your client, that you can help them buy and flip. But holding real estate long-term is by far the best. It's not uncommon for me to see a real estate commission in the $10,000 range, $5,000 to $10,000 for an agent. It's not uncommon for me to see flip profits anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000. It's not uncommon for me to meet somebody who's held a property like Patricia, Amy, or John for over 10 years that's receiving $500,000 tax-free under IRS 121 because they've held it, they hold it. So what I'm encouraging you to do, sell a lot of real estate. For you, sell real estate for the ability for you to buy. Sell real estate so that you have the experience and the financial resources for you to invest in real estate. To me, my primary customer is you. I want to help you accomplish your goals. So I'm encouraging you to sell real estate to make that the hose that fills your real estate bucket. Then I'm encouraging you to start flipping property, okay? And then hold property. Move from a speculator and a spectator to a real estate investor or even a collector of real estate. For your client, I'm encouraging you to stop thinking about helping people sell one to buy one. Help people sell one to buy two. One to live in, one to rent. One for personal use, one for investment. One to pay the mortgage, one to receive rental income. One to live in and enjoy, the other one to help fund your retirement. Start thinking differently. Stop talking about when you meet with a first-time home buyer about buying their first home and being their realtor on this transaction. Start talking about the life cycle of real estate and being the realtor for life. yes, I know you want to buy your first home, but once you've bought this home, my guess is it's going to be too small over time. Let's buy a bigger one. And then you're going to want to buy a bigger one. And then you're going to want to buy a bigger one. And then one day you're going to call me and say, buy a smaller one. And then each time we buy, we sell one, let's buy two, let's get an investment property. So when you're writing a check, you're also receiving a check, right? From a rental property that you own. And so real estate is good to be sold. It is even better to be flipped. And holding real estate long-term is where true wealth is created. All right. So friends, I'm going to finish this. I've got four more lessons next week. And I'll wrap up these thoughts. These are the 10 big lessons that I've learned in the last 20 years of being in real estate. And I'm trying not to communicate just the sales lessons or the transactional lessons. There's a whole host of those. But these kind of rise to like what Jennifer and I and our family have learned. My hope is that you don't view this about us, about our communication, about what we've done. What I'm trying to encourage you is for you to learn these lessons far sooner than we did. So you can put them in place in your life, your business, and guide a lot of people along the same path.